Wow, I'm so excited to be able to share this message with you guys tonight. I am really honoured at the privilege you've given me to be able to go through God's scriptures and to share with you what He's really been laying on my heart, what I've been looking forward to sharing for a while now. So, as you may or may not be aware, I'm trying to slowly go through the book of Ephesians. Not competing with Ian. But Ephesians chapter 4 has had just so much that has really captivated my heart, and I trust yours as well. In Ephesians 4, we see a great emphasis on the importance of the unity of the body of Christ, that we are called together to be one, to encourage one another. We're called to see that we each have unique gifts. And those unique gifts are specifically for building up the church and strengthening God's people. But in the middle of this chapter, Paul, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he stops. And that's what we'll be looking at tonight, verses 7 to 10. How Paul stops thinking about the unity of the body of Christ and the importance of us using our spiritual gifts. He stops to remember Jesus Christ, the reason for all of this, the reason for the body, for the reason for our gifts. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Pause and reflect on our Savior Jesus. So before we get into it, let's come before our God in a time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise Your name. You are holy, far beyond anything that we could ever comprehend. And in love, You have reached down and raised us up. Us who were once, Lord, we were digging in the dirt, wrestling for worthless things, thinking they were precious, but You, by Your grace, have opened our eyes to see that You, our God, are more precious than anything else, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is more satisfying than anything this world could ever offer. Heavenly Father, we pray that You lead us now. Quieten our hearts so we can hear Your voice speak to us. Give us ears to hear, and hearts that are ready to respond to You tonight. And pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, praise our Heavenly Father for His indescribable gift of Jesus. Like I mentioned earlier, tonight's scripture is calling us to pause and think about Jesus. To consider the glory of heaven that He willingly left behind and in love entered into our world where He suffered the pain and anguish of the cross to take away our sin, God's gift to us. And we're also called to reflect on how Jesus didn't remain dead but has risen and is alive today. He has taken His enemies as prisoners, and He has ascended into glory. So let's read tonight's reading. It's Ephesians chapter 4. We're reading from verses 7 to 10. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, He led captive a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men. Now this expression, He ascended, what does it mean except that He also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is Himself also, He who ascended far above all the heavens, so that He might fill all things. In verse 7, you can see that each of us has received grace. All who believe in Jesus and love and obey Him, we have received the wonderful grace of salvation. Something that we have not deserved, but God has freely poured out for us through Christ Jesus. But this passage isn't speaking about that grace. If we continue on in our reading and look at verses 11 and 12, we actually see what this grace is. Verse 11, it says, "And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers." And what are all these gifts that Christ has given to us for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. So in verse 7, we actually see the gift that Christ has given us is our spiritual gifts. Each of us has been blessed with a unique spiritual gift. Only you can serve God's people the way you can because of the gifts He has given you. No one can serve like you. You have a unique gift, and that gift is to build up God's people. What a gift of grace! Not only did God rescue and save a wretch like me, but He has blessed me with a gift so I can serve His people. God has given each of us this gift. What a God! But I ask you tonight, do you know what your gift is? Do you know how God has uniquely gifted you to serve Him? That takes time, experience, seeing what God lays on your heart as you serve Him. He will reveal it to you. But tonight, we're not really looking at our gifts. I just want you to know that you've been given one. Tonight is all about the glory, the absolute glory of the giver of these gifts. This is helping us to truly treasure what we have, what we have received from God. Think for yourself, when you receive a gift from someone that you really value, it means a lot. I've got at home a really precious photo of myself as a very small child, probably 3, maybe 2, and I'm there with my family's first dog, Sparky. I'm just sitting on the ground with Sparky. Me and Sparky were close, and this photo is just so precious to me. But it's even more precious because it was beautifully framed and given to me on my 21st birthday by my granny, my dear gran. And that to me just speaks so much. My dear gran remembered this picture and knew that I loved it, and she treasured it and she's given it to me. It's really special. But then I've received other gifts that I really have not loved. I'm not proud of this, but when I did my big teaching prac, it was really hard. And I thought the lady who was teaching me to be a teacher really hated me. She would just constantly criticize and poke holes at everything I did. And at the end of my prac, she gave me this beautiful leather satchel. It's so nice. And I took that satchel, I put it in a drawer, and I didn't even want to look at it. I was like, anything that reminds me of this lady just makes me feel nervous and anxious. I'm embarrassed to say that she was actually seeing quite a good teacher in me. And by criticizing, she was actually pushing me to be a great teacher. But it took me too long to realize that. But now that I can see her heart behind the way she treated me, I really treasure this bag that says, "Well done, Peter. You're a good teacher. And here is a bag that will carry you on." And it's funny how when we receive gifts, sometimes the gift itself doesn't matter, but the person who's given it matters more. And also when we receive a gift, if we don't treasure that person that's given it to us, we can maybe not value it as much as it does deserve. And that's what we want to grab hold of tonight. Christ. Who is Christ that has given you your spiritual gift? So in verses 7 to 10, like I said, they're not concerned with our gifts, but they're asking us, they're encouraging us to consider Jesus. As Paul is thinking about Christ giving gifts, you can see how his mind is taken to Psalm 68, verse 18. That's where this little passage in verse 8 actually comes from. Psalm 68, specifically this is verse 18. And Paul is saying to think about this verse. So if you'd like to turn to it, Psalm 68, verse 18. It says, "You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men." You can see that Paul is thinking, he's connecting Christ with this glorious image of God, God the protector. This psalm speaks about God being a great protector and shelter for the people of Israel. And then verse 18 in this psalm gives us this image of God, the victorious King, triumphantly returning from battle, ascending on high to his throne. The mighty King is leading behind himself a great procession of all of his vanquished enemies. You could imagine these captives in chains as the King leads the procession of his prisoners of war. We also see here in this psalm, verse 18, that the King, he's plundering the captives. He's taking all of their possessions as spoils of war. Both psalms, this Psalm 68 and Ephesians, have the same pictures. Both of them have a King that is victorious and is ascending. Both are leading captives. But in the psalm, it says that the King received gifts. And in Ephesians, it says he gave gifts to men. Why is there that difference? I believe the Holy Spirit made this change to actually build upon the image we have in Psalms. Christ has defeated his enemies, and he has received from his enemies the spoils of war. But then our Savior Jesus, after receiving the spoils that he was due, he has given us the gifts. He has poured out the plunder of his battle on us, his beloved brothers and sisters. So, we have received gifts, but those gifts have come to us because Christ first won the battle. His foes have been defeated, our foes have been defeated. In verse 9 of our reading in Ephesians, you can see how the Holy Spirit have captivated Paul's thoughts of Jesus being a King. And it says in verse 9, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean? Except that he also had descended to the lower parts of the earth. Paul is considering Christ, that he willingly and in love left the glory of heaven. He set aside the worship of angels to come into our world, humbling himself to become a man. He set aside a place of glory and worship to come into a place where he was rejected and hated. I love that song, "You're the Word of God the Father." It gives us such a beautiful description of this descension that Christ did. You left the gaze of angels. You came to seek and save the lost and exchange the joy of heaven for the anguish of a cross. What a Savior. What a God. The God of all creation descended to die for us. In verse 10 we read, "He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things." This scripture is reminding us that Jesus didn't remain dead. He didn't remain in the grave. We serve a risen Savior. He ascended victoriously. And this actually links us really nicely back to Psalm 18, where both King and our Savior King triumph over their foes. Where Jesus has ascended and reigns triumphantly. He has taken all of his foes as prisoners of war. Hebrews 1 tells us that Jesus, our Savior, who bled and died on the cross, has now ascended and is seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. And the enemies of Christ, our Heavenly Father has made Christ's footstool. So I mentioned a lot about the enemies that have been overcome, but let's actually take time to find out who Christ defeated or what Christ defeated on the cross. So if you'd like to turn with me, I've got a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll look at verses 55 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. On the cross, Jesus has defeated sin and death. They no longer have any power over us. And Christ's victory has been given to us. What a Savior. As God's children, through Christ, sin and death no longer have power over us. Praise His name. Now, that's a wonderful thing we have. Now, turn with me to 1 John. Chapter 5, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. 1 John, chapter 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has defeated the world that we live in. He has given us the victory. We are no longer slaves to the lies and the deceptions, to the lusts of this world. All of that has been conquered through Jesus. And Jesus has given that victory to us. by His death on the cross, Jesus has triumphantly defeated sin, death, the power of this world. Through His resurrection, Jesus has publicly paraded these as His prisoners in chains. Jesus has taken His seat on His throne at the right hand of God, and our Heavenly Father has placed sin and death and the power of this world as footstool for Jesus. Our enemies, sin, death, and the power of this world are under Jesus' mighty foot. The foot of our Savior is firmly pressed on their necks. Christ has all the power and authority. Praise His name. As I was actually thinking about this wonderful truth, I was reminded of Joshua. I've been looking at Joshua a bit lately, and in Deuteronomy 31, God gives us a beautiful promise. He gives it to Joshua, but all promises are yes and amen through Jesus, so God gave this promise to us. So Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. If this isn't highlighted in your Bible, I encourage you to. Deuteronomy 31:6. God said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." We are not to fear death. Even if we're facing the end of our life, suffering the horrors of disease or sickness, don't be afraid of death, because Christ has overcome and you're going to glory. Even if you're struggling with sin and you're battling to overcome, don't be afraid. Christ has overcome that sin. He has given you the power to overcome. What a Savior! When you feel the pressure of this world, to have this and be content, do this and you'll be satisfied. Look to God. Look to God. He is so satisfying. He is all satisfying. He is all glorious. Christ has overcome the world so you can be so satisfied in our God. Glory and praise to our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we've looked at how Jesus has vanquished our enemies. We've seen how Jesus has given us gifts. We've even looked at how our gifts are unique and they're for building up the church. But why? Why has Christ done all of these things? And finally, at the end of verse 10, we are given the great purpose of Jesus' mission on earth. Our co-creator descended from heaven, died and was raised to life, and ascended to glory so that He might fill all things. He might fill all things. The mission of Jesus was to restore all of creation to its perfect original state for the glory of God the Father. Jesus will one day return, and He will one day finally destroy sin and death forever. The world will be made pure and holy, and He will fill all things. All believers, all creation, filled with Christ's Spirit, leading us in the worship and adoration of God the Father and His Son Jesus. On that day, Jesus will place himself then under all, place under himself all of the authority that he has under God for God's glory. In 1 Corinthians, this kind of brings it together. 1 Corinthians 15:24, where it says, "Then comes the end, when he," that's Jesus, "hands the kingdom over to God and Father. When he has abolished all rule and authority and power, because they are under Jesus' control. And he must remain until God," it says, "he has put his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things under subjection under his feet." So God the Father has put everything under Christ's rule. But when he says all things are put under subjection, it's evident that he's accepted who puts all things in subjection to him. So it's saying everything's going to be under subjection of Jesus, under the rule of Jesus, and Jesus is going to put everything under the rule of our Heavenly Father. So then, when all things are subjected to Jesus, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. So you see the great purpose of your gifts, the great purpose of unity in the body of Christ's church, is that one day Jesus will fill everything. His great purpose is unifying all things to his Father, that we all might worship. So tonight, this scripture is calling us to reflect on Jesus because of his great love. Jesus is all glorious. It's all satisfying. And he will soon return. And he will one day fill all things. And he has invited us to serve him, to serve his church for his glory. What a Savior. What a Savior that we have. Let us come now and we'll spend some time thanking him in prayer. Our Lord and Savior, we thank you for all that you have done. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you gave your Son freely for me. And you are working in each of us, showing us the gifts you have blessed us with, that we might glorify you and your Son, Jesus Christ. How precious is the Savior, that he would leave the glory of heaven for the anguish of a cross, that he might raise us up into worshippers of the Almighty God. Praise your name. Help these words to touch our hearts and refresh us anew. And pray this in your Son's name. Amen.